You're listening to the ISF podcast for your organization's better cybersecurity. Your host, ISF CEO Steve Durbin, is an expert in leadership, business culture transformation, and cyber strategies for today's top enterprises. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. Today's episode is our annual look ahead to next year, as we present Steve's recent emerging threats webinar for security leaders. You'll hear Steve's thoughts on the threats cybersecurity professionals should be prepared to handle in 2025. Here's Steve.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the ISF's annual look at the threats that are going to be emerging, this time, of course, into 2025. I'm Steve Durbin, and for the next hour or so, I'm going to be taking your questions and also sharing some of my thoughts as to exactly what 2025 is going to look like as far as cybersecurity. What I'm also going to do, though, is, in addition to digging into some of those threats, talk about how you can deal with them. And I'm also going to talk about how you can make your organizations just a little bit more resilient by involving business leaders and indeed, of course, end users in the work that the security team is doing. So let's take a look at how I see things moving into 2025. I've labeled this one Cybersecurity Comes of Age. Now, there's a reason for that. I think that 2025 is really going to see security maturing. And there are probably some people listening to this who think, well, what's he on about? You know, we've been doing security for about the last 30-odd years, particularly if you've been with the ISF. But I really do think that we're reaching a point where security is recognized at all levels in the organization as being something that we need to be paying attention to. Now, there's an advantage to that, but there's also some challenges. It does mean that we're very much more involved in the overall working of the business, and we have to take into account some of the geopolitical issues that are out there. So global challenges are something that we need to consider. Of course, it goes without saying that cyber threats are going to become increasingly more complex. There's nothing new in that. We're also going to continue to suffer from talent shortages. But dealing with those things are really the issues that we need to be confronting. We're also, if you happen to be a multinational organization, and I know many of you are, going to have to manage this cross-border data flow. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that shortly, because that, for me, is a key issue too. The next block here, as you can see, is called strategic priorities. And for me, cyber has now moved into this critical priority space. It is a business issue. It is a major business issue. What that means is that for it to be effective, has to be integrated into an organization's strategic decision-making. We can no longer afford to retrofit it to something that the business has decided. And it's absolutely essential to enterprise risk management. Now, that's also a good thing, because for so long, we've seen security being left to one side while the business has focused its time on true enterprise risk management. So combining the two things together really, I think, brings some advantages to it. The last area, which is all part and parcel of the maturity that I'm talking about, is regulatory compliance. Now, those of you who've listened to me in the past will know that I'm not a huge fan of regulation. I think, though, we've reached a point where we do need to have some fairly sensible guidelines, particularly when we start talking about artificial intelligence. We're going to see, inevitably, new data protection and compliance regulations emerging all around the world. Non-compliance is going to be an issue, and I think we need to take into account that there could be quite significant impact on business operations if we don't get it right. Now, the downside of regulatory compliance that we really need to guard against is that the business might see that as being a tick box exercise, and we can't afford to let that happen. So we have to be looking at how regulation can be applied to security, to the overall direction in which our businesses are traveling, and also the degree of compliance that we need to be applying. Some might be light touch. We could, in other areas, need to go very much deeper. So if that's the overall landscape, let's take a look now at what some of the key threats are that we're going to need to contend with from a cybersecurity team point of view. And I've put these into three blocks, as you can see. The first one is supply chain. Supply chains are continually being disrupted as conflicts continue to increase all around the world. We saw some of that, of course, back in the COVID era. That really was exacerbated with the situation in Ukraine. We've now got situations ongoing in the Middle East. And I think that rather than come to some form of conclusion around the way in which we might manage those. We're just going to have to settle down into understanding that this is going to be a key issue, certainly for the foreseeable future. And the reason for that is that supply chains are not simple. I'm stating something of the obvious there, but they are increasingly lengthening. And the challenge with that, of course, is that from a security standpoint, we may not know which suppliers are in that chain. And so we may be very good at auditing our tier one suppliers, but as soon as we get into tier two, tier three, and beyond, it becomes very much more difficult. So we have to assume that there are going to be some challenges coming from that area. And I think we will see an increase in cyber attacks, not necessarily directly on our own organizations, but perhaps on supplier organizations that will have a knock-on effect. So we need to be able to deal with those. The other piece, though, that I'm concerned about is cloud. Everybody is moving to the cloud, and I think that cloud services are really going to struggle in 2025 for a whole range of different issues. I think we're going to see more outages. I think we're going to see a much more prescriptive approach from some organizations, particularly those that are concerned about perhaps environmental issues. Don't forget, cloud data centers do swallow up a huge amount of energy, but they're also massively big. And again, I know I'm stating the obvious, but for the smaller organizations that are listening to this, you don't have the clout that's needed in order to be able to specify some of the security controls. So you have to make some assumptions when you move to the cloud that your data may not be as secure as you would ideally like. And you have to put in place some resilience around that. And the larger organizations, you also have a role to play, not just in securing your own data, but in providing the input that's necessary for your smaller suppliers to understand their obligations as well. So supply chain is really something I think we're going to have to continue to focus on in 2025. The second area, of course, is artificial intelligence. You can't do a presentation without talking about artificial intelligence, can you? Everybody wants to talk about it. But what does that actually mean in 2025? Well, I would say that we're going to see some real challenges being introduced by AI across a whole range of different areas, not just in the way in which we might use it within our organization, so there's a governance issue in that, but the way in which cybercrime gangs are going to be making use of it as well. Because, you know, AI is very easily available. We're also going to see it developing further in terms of image, video generation. That's going to cause a rise in deepfakes. But the piece that worries me the most, and I've said this for a very long time, is the data integrity. AI data sets are vulnerable to deliberate poisoning or accidental pollution. Now, if I talk to AI providers, they will tell me that their AI is sufficiently intelligent that it can really spot these things. I don't buy it. If I'm using AI, I want to make sure that the data it's actually telling me to make decisions about has a huge amount of the traditional information security guidance around it. So I'm talking about confidentiality. I'm talking about integrity. I'm talking, of course, about availability. Those old CIA things that from an information security standpoint, we've been talking about for a very, very long time. So the focus in this area, I think, around AI for organizations, is to make sure that the data that you're feeding into the systems is reliable and that you actually trust it. And the third area is data in general. We're seeing and will continue to see an increase, I think, in misinformation and disinformation. That's going to cause problems for organizations, it's going to cause problems for individuals. Deepfakes and indeed cheap fakes are going to be on the rise. And I do have a concern that threat intelligence may become slightly overwhelmed with all of the available data that is out there. Again, though, I do see AI being much more involved in threat intelligence. And so the key in all of this is the way in which we as people are able to work collaboratively with our AI and other technology systems. But the whole data issue is one that organizations need to pay a lot of attention to, particularly when we look at some of the social media feeds that are out there, because it can damage reputation. And once that happens, it's exceptionally hard to move that dial back. So those are the three areas that I'm concerned about. If we look now, though, at how you can manage that and the impact of those on the business landscape, let's take supply chain first. What are the sorts of things that you can do? Well, I think you can mitigate vulnerabilities across those networks by having a much better understanding of who is supplying what, where, and when. Stage two, once you've understood that, is to implement some pretty stringent security protocols. Be prescriptive, but don't just be prescriptive. Provide assistance and help as well as to how you want to see some of those protocols being implemented throughout your supply chain. And, of course, conduct regular security audits. Do them yourself or use a third party. Moving to AI, the challenge here is how do we balance the innovation that it brings with security? What we don't want to do is to stop that innovation. So again, it's back to basics. It's about ensuring some pretty robust cybersecurity measures are in place around the data, as I was saying earlier. But also it's important to foster this culture of experimentation, of innovation, because it's a hugely powerful tool here that can make a massive difference from a competitive advantage point of view. And what you don't want to do from a security point of view is constrain the business in that space. So it does mean that you have to implement some pretty secure development practices and usage practices as well. And then the third point that I was talking about, the misinformation and the disinformation, it's about really understanding your critical assets. How do you protect those? That can be brand. It can be reputation. It could be data. It could be a variety of different things. But you have to safeguard those. At the ISF, we talk a lot about protecting the crown jewels. That's the focus area, I think, in this space. You're also going to have to monitor some of the geopolitical developments that are ongoing. It's a very, very fast-moving space at the moment, and you will have to develop some pretty sound contingency plans. Let me throw a couple of other things in that you can do, though, because when I talk to members all around the world, there's still a concern about the financial impact of breaches. And so within all of these three areas that I've been talking about, it's very important to assess some of the financial risk that you might be running. Ransomware, of course, is something that we're all still concerned about. Putting in place some of your response plans, having the discussion with your senior leaders about how they want you to respond, those are the sorts of things that you need to be doing now. And rolling out cyber simulation exercises to actually test your readiness and preparedness. And of course, take a look at your cybersecurity insurance coverage. It's not going to cover everything, but it is worth just checking to see where you stand. And then the last point, don't forget the culture and the organizational challenges. We have to continue to foster what I call this security conscious mindset. It needs to be human centered. Security begins with the people. It's not about technology. Most of the breaches that take place, most of the malware that gets through, is because somebody has inadvertently clicked on something that they shouldn't. So we need to continue to promote cybersecurity awareness in a very practical way. Some very basic stuff that I'm still surprised that people don't really reinforce. I'll give you an example. Most of us have employees that are working remotely. They don't have the luxury of being able to get up in an office and walk down to talk to their security team. So what do they need to do if they see something come in on their email that looks a little bit fishy or suspicious? Do they know who to contact? That's a really basic, really simple, but very, very effective way of stopping a significant amount of the phishing that goes on. So don't forget, keep it simple, and reinforce some of these messages right the way across the business. That may involve you having some continuous training programs that are running as well. And let me just leave you on this slide with a little quote there from one of our members, talking about in times of turbulence, then the ability to cope with uncertainty really will differentiate the winners from the losers. And sadly, I don't think we're going to see an end to uncertainty anytime soon in 2025. So those are some of the ways in which you can manage the impact on the business landscape. But I talked a lot about the business, and very often people say to me, well, what actually does the business need to know, Steve? You know, do they want to get involved in some of the technology? Do they want to really understand some of the security issues that we're talking about? 9 times out of 10, most business leaders want to understand security in terms that are familiar to them. That means reporting cyber risk in financial or economic and operational terms, not just in technical terms, because frankly, business leaders won't understand that. So the challenge for us is to align cyber risk management with the needs of the business by identifying how risk management and resilience are aligned and help to meet business objectives. That way, I can guarantee you will get the ear of the business. And if you can crack that one, then some of the other issues that we're dealing with, such as resourcing, such as alignment, such as commitment, tend to go away. But you're also going to need to build in a massive amount of flexibility in 2025. Because I can guarantee a few things. Cyber risk will continue to evolve. Regulatory changes, because cyber risk is continuing to evolve, will occur. And they will not be consistent. Also, your company risk appetite, I wouldn't mind betting, is going to shift. Particularly, again, if you happen to be a multinational organization. So gone are the days where we can produce our cyber risk approach, our cyber strategy, hand it out, and hope that we don't need to revisit it for another 12 months. I think you're going to need to be revisiting it on an ongoing basis, at least quarterly. You're going to have to be reviewing it in line with the way in which the business is operating, the way the business continues to perhaps expand into new markets, introduce new products, maybe move down a merger and acquisition route. So actually, 2025 for me is a pretty exciting time to be in security. I mentioned the business. Boards now are very, very engaged when it comes to cybersecurity. They understand that this introduces a whole range of different emerging risks that they may not have considered in the past. It also introduces additional governance issues that they need to understand. Some examples here for you. So, for instance, if you're using AI, who has the authority to make decisions on data use? The board has to decide that. It has to be devolved. It could be to the chief executive. It could be to the chief operations officer. It could be elsewhere. It could be to the chief risk officer. But you need to have that conversation. Boards need to understand how the risk tolerance of the organization is changing in the light of some of the threats I've been talking about, or indeed in the light of some of the mitigations that I've been touching on are being implemented across the organization. And they always need to understand the position when it comes to regulation. What do we need to be considering? Why? How? What's the impact of it on what we do as a business, on the information that we share, and with whom? So I do think that we're going to see, again, in much the same way as we've seen some maturing of the cybersecurity function, some maturing of the board governance elements as well, to take into account some of the changes that cyber risk is bringing about. We do have to look at how we can embed better cybersecurity as a strategic business enabler. Now, when I talk to chief information security officers, they absolutely hate this. Some of them do anyway, because they haven't learned how to align cyber with being a strategic business enabler. They're still focused too much on the cost. And cost is not something that we need to be spending time on. Value is what we need to be spending time on. And if you can align that with the strategic business enablers, life will become easier. And that will be a key requirement in 2025. There's also a lot of frustration in the boardroom. When I talk to board members, they are hugely frustrated because they don't understand why the core security fundamentals are not in place. Why isn't the patching taking place? How hard can it be? That's a very common question that I get asked. So we do have to establish the processes for doing the basic cyber hygiene. And boards will ask you whether or not that is in place. They'll also ask what the economic drivers and impacts of managing cyber risk are on the business. So be prepared for that one, because it will have moved from pure play security into risk. They'll also ask about cyber resilience. How are we going to recover? How are we going to get the business back up and running? How long are we going to be down for? What's the impact of that on our shareholders, on our employees, on our suppliers? And so they're going to be asking security to align cyber risk management with the needs of the business, with the requirements of the business, and to make sure that they're comfortable that the organizational construct supports all of the things I've just been talking about. Now, that's quite a significant shift for a lot of security teams who I think are still too focused on the technical elements of security. So if you are in that space, just take a few moments to step back and think about how you can apply some of the processes, some of your approaches to a business leader who perhaps doesn't understand the technical elements, but is really engaged around how he or she can manage risk and how he or she can help develop the business in the direction that it needs to go in 2025. Now, very often as well, I'm asked for a bit of a step guide to aligning cybersecurity strategies with business objectives. So this is one that's is a very simple five-step process. Step one is obviously just to conduct a thorough assessment of where you're at. That makes sense, whether you're new in role or indeed just on an annual basis. A cyber hygiene check on an annual basis is a pretty good way to go. You can benchmark yourself. Boards like that. If you're an ISF member, of course, you'll know that there's a number of different ways in which you can do that through ISF Assure. Once you've done that, it is about getting a really solid understanding of the business goals and the priorities for your organization over the coming 12 months. So engage with the key stakeholders. Doesn't have to be formal. A lot of the best engagement is informal. So don't be afraid to do that. Then stage three, of course, is to develop a strategy, an approach that aligns with the organization's overall objective and direction. Then stage four, we're all very good at this one, is about implementation. We love that. Implement the controls, put in place the measurement structures. And then we get to number five, where we're going to have to review it all and possibly change it. But those five steps are guaranteed to provide you with a very clear roadmap to understanding what it is that the business wants to do, how it's going to go about doing it, who the key stakeholders are, the role that security has to play, and it'll also involve you in some fairly high-level reviews. So you're always going to be current. And I can guarantee that if you implement that very simple approach, your request for resource will be much more aligned with the business, and that will make life a lot easier, particularly as we're going into some fairly economically challenging times. So this is one, if you look at no other slides in this pack, that certainly I would keep to hand. Very simple, very effective, and it works. So we've talked about the overall market landscape. We've talked about some of the threats that I'm concerned about. I've talked about some of the mitigations. I've talked about how you might engage better. So what does the future actually look like? Well, for me, security is still an evolving space. It's very exciting. It's very fast moving. We all need to remain agile and think a little bit beyond our comfort level, I think. Regulation, bad news here. It's not going to be standardized anytime soon, if ever. I'm very skeptical about the whole regulatory landscape. I think we're starting to see it being used for political means and ends. And I think from the security standpoint, that's not helpful. But it is what it is. We are where we are, and we need to work with it. And security is going to have to continue to support not just the business when it comes to regulation, but also all of the technology changes that are taking place. And some of that rapid evolution in technology and changes in the way of working are going to require us to be very much more on our toes in terms of how we respond and work collaboratively with the business. And I think the key to that isn't just agility, but having adaptive governance in place and therefore adaptive security. And that's going to become the norm, I think, for successful businesses. The ones that I think are really going to succeed and flourish in 2025 are going to have aligned security with the business and are going to have put in place mechanisms for all elements to change in sync with each other. Keeping on track is going to require a huge amount of collective collaboration across the enterprise. Again, for a lot of security leaders that I work with, they're already at that point. They are sitting at the business table. For others, breaking into it may seem a little bit daunting, but some of the things I've been talking about throughout this session hopefully will give you some of the guidance there, because you do have to do it. I also think there's a great opportunity for some cross-industry working, either through the sorts of things that we do at the ISF or with other industry bodies. And please don't forget boards, business leaders. They have a key role to play. Security is no longer a technical issue, despite what loads of different vendors will tell you. Security is a business issue. And if we can learn to speak the language of the business, life will become very, very much easier for us in 2025, which I think is going to be both challenging and also very exciting.
Thanks for joining us for Steve's take on 2025 emerging threats. In the meantime, if you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast, and we'd be pleased if you'd consider sharing the episode. To become a member, get in touch with Steve directly at steve.durbin@securityforum.org or on LinkedIn. Check out all our media and resources. All of it is there to support you at securityforum.org. Don't miss our other podcast, Dear InfoSec, sharing conversations with members about the real-world applications of ISF research. The ISF podcast is produced by TalkBox Productions and Tavia Gilbert. Thanks for listening.